Hello and welcome to I'll Try That, the beer review and news podcast.
I'll Try That, the beer review and news podcast.
Here in London.
Ding dong.
I was thinking about this last night in bed.
Smashed it.
Proof of success.
There's a soon to be fur daddy.
Another one in the bag.
I'm vetoing that.
This week on I'll Try That, we're heading to the Jurassic Coast, home of fossil hunting and dinosaurs, to visit the Badger Brewery. But first, the hop topic. Okay then, boys. So this week, I've got something a little bit different for us to discuss in the hop topic, okay? Maybe not so much fact-based and news-based. I suppose it was new news to me, shall we say. Something a little bit personal to me, okay? You're stroking your mustache there, Joe. I'm enjoying it. Are you intrigued?
I'm intrigued. You've intrigued me okay. With this intro to this
hot
topic.
A couple of weeks back, I was up at home. Me and my mum were going through old family photos. And I was going through all these photos, and it looked like most of my families seemed to be from the Peaky Blinders with all the gear they had going on and stuff. And they all lived in Birmingham. So who knows? They could have been part of the Peaky Blinders. I like to think so. This is...
You can dream of that. I want our imaginations to believe that your family were part of the Peaky Blinders at one point.
Trouble with the mustache you've got right now and the haircut, could be.
I think I've got the right attitude of a Peaky Blinder as well. But we'll just go on from there.
I don't know how you qualify that, but we need to get into the segment, so let's go.
We were going through some old pictures and stuff like that, and we stumbled across some things which I never knew, but my family used to be publicans back in the day. So they used to own a series of pubs all through Warsaw and Birmingham, which I thought was pretty cool. And they sent me we found a series of different images, which we'll put up on the Instagram page and stuff like that. I think it'd be quite interesting to see, of different pubs that we owned in Warsaw, which this one was called the Royal Exchange. There we go.
Oh, nice. I love that.
Yeah. That's a great name.
Oh, that's great. The old timey, you know, kind of the outfits that everyone's wearing.
They're great,
as
aren't
well.
They? So, and we're even part of the Michelin Butcher web guide. So this I think you guys will like this. It's a guide from how far or where the pubs are and distances from they are from Birmingham. So it gives you
the ultimate pub crawl.
So it gives you, distance from Birmingham, there's pubs in Aberdeen, 426 miles away. So you can work out how far it's going to take you to get to your local pub.
I love that they've made Birmingham the epicentre of all of this.
The local pub in Aberdeen, which is just a few miles down the road.
Which I think is really good. I think we should get more of these out and about. We should sack off Google and bust that up.
So what was that brewery group called? Mitchell and Bass?
So this brings on to my next bit. So Bass, Mitchells and Butlers, Midlands Limited, which is back in the day. And when we were looking through stuff, we came across a letter which was addressed to my great-great-great-granddad from the Wolverhampton branch of Bass, Mitchell and Butlers. And this is when he was finally retiring and stuff like that. So I'll read you the letter, but there's a bit I want to mainly discuss in a minute. It says, "Dear Mr. Mills, our welfare officer, Mr. R.H. Taylor, has reported to the board following his recent call on you. I'm glad to be able to inform that in your view of your retirement, the director has granted you an allowance." Okay, so an allowance back then would be your pension today, sort of thing. So this was agreed by the board. So instead, you weren't paying into a pension scheme or anything like that. You were then, there was an agreement to how much you would get a week. Okay. How much do you reckon he's getting a week? So, okay.
What's the time period? Are we in old money and halfpennies and shillings and all that kind of jazz? Or are we in pounds and sterling?
So this was 1965. I don't want to hear like gold bullions or stuff like that. Or the deeds to his farm. And all the things along those lines.
You get one sheep and a cow.
So it's in pounds.
It's not in pounds. Time.
How much do you reckon he was offered a week in pounds?
A living wage back then for a pension, I reckon. And I mean, he's worked his whole life as a publican, so he's worked for this company all the way through his life. So it should be he's put the time in. He should get a good pension out of this. like £60 a week, £70 a week.
Come on, Simo, give us a guess.
Higher or lower? I'm gonna go lower than what Joe says. Higher or lower? Okay. So Joe said 60. I'm gonna go £30.
Boys, you're both well off. It goes. In view of your retirement, the directors have granted you an allowance of £1 a week.
Oh my gosh.
I want to know what that actually gets you, though. I need to know what that gets you, Matt, then.
Let me fact check this for you while you keep talking about it.
It's subject to review from time to time. So that's a very vague statement. We will review this from time to time.
So that's like, oh, when we've got a spare time, we might go, you can have
this
a bit more.
This will be sent to you regularly by post, and the first 3 weeks' allowance are enclosed herewith.
So, I've got some herewith. I love that language. So, Rich, you said 1965, right? So, £1 in 1965 would be the equivalent value today of £16.56.
I spent that this morning in Tesco.
That's a weird flex, isn't it? To say, you know, you're paying your granddad's pension or weekly pension in Tesco's. Like, that's a weird flex. I don't know why.
I spent this in Tesco's.
He goes on to say, the directors have asked me to express to their sincere appreciation of the good service which both you and Mrs. Mills have rendered to the Highgate Brewery during the 31 years you've been associated with them, and that they trust you will be able to enjoy a long and happy retirement. Yours faithfully, the Bass, Mitchell and Butlers.
That's so endearing. I love that. Yeah. This is a great heartwarming story of, you know, you're hearing, you know, the beer industry has obviously been around for so long, but that's like literally within your family, group of publicans within it, you know, doing their time with, you know, that's their livelihood right there. That's an interest. That's a really nice family memento there.
And 31 years. Yeah. That's incredible.
So what I'll do is we will stick them all up on the Instagram page so you guys can take a look at the images and pictures and all of that sort of stuff.
And now for some Pursuit of Hoppiness.
All right, guys, so, you know, this week's episode we're going to be talking about Badger Brewery as the heartland of Dorset, you know, right down on the coast. And, you know, it's been around since 1777. It's one of the oldest breweries that I know of, you know, in that area. And, you know, Rich, you're from the Dorset, or it's currently living in the Dorset area, as you have done for quite a few years. And, you know, Badger Brewery must be just all over the whole of the Dorset area, right?
I would say every pub I go into, you can get a Badger Brewery ale. We've got a Hall and Woodhouse, which is the main partnership. They own lots of places around us, and literally 20-minute walk is my local pub, is a Badger Brewery owned place, and there just everything is, all their just fantastic ales that they have.
So Simo, come and name some of their ales for us, because I think there's some fantastic names of what they've come with their ales.
So they have the Cranbourne Poacher, the Golden Champion, the Blandford Fly, the Hopping Hare, the legendary Tanglefoot, and the Thirsty Ferret.
So this week we are going to be tasting the Thirsty Ferret. That's the one that's been picked out that we're going to be working on. And, you know, but I have seen, I've been very familiar with the Hopping Hare, the Golden Champion and the Tanglefoot, the legendary Tanglefoot, I should say. You know, it's kind of made its way around in, you know, those kind of like boxes that you get of, you know, old classic ales. Yeah. You know, one of them would have made their way into one of those things. But, you know, I quite like that each one of their beers has quite a distinctive identity. Like, they don't feel very similar, apart from the fact that they've got Badger Brewery label on the neck of the bottles.
I suppose what I really, really like about all of their products is they've kept true to where they started, sort of thing. And a lot of them are named after certain places in Dorset as well. So Leaping Ledges is a cliff formation, which is really, really pretty down by the coast. And Simo, did you mention one called the Blandford? What was the Blandford one?
The Blandford Fly. Yeah.
The Blandford Fly. So Blandford is another place within the Dorset area. But they're also kept very much to the countryside. Every name has some sort of connotation to being out in the country, something that you would see. So you've got the Hopping Hare, the Thirsty Ferret, long days, saying how they're representing the farmers out in the fields, working hard. And that's the imagery they're trying to picture, that you would be drinking these in a country pub. I think that's their target audience and what they're trying to picture, that you're sitting by an open fire, you've just had some proper pub grub, and you're sipping on one of the Badger Brewery.
So let's get involved with Thirsty Ferret. So, you know, what's your kind of first takes, Richard? Maybe you can read out some of the copy that they've got on their website for the Thirsty Ferret.
The Thirsty Ferret. So the Thirsty Ferret pleads guilty to stealing beer, is what they've written on there. Being such a Moorishly malty amber ale, you'll taste why he did it. So they've got along the lines that the ferret's stealing the beer, which I
now,
quite like.
Simo, can you explain to us what a ferret is?
I'm excited for this.
Oh, God. Okay, so a ferret is like an elongated rat-esque animal, okay? So it's very much kind of an animal that lives within the grassland of England, and it is very famous for the idea that it will come in and take food away, and it will kind of pillage from you and then take it away, and they're very slight and light, and they're almost like it's not a ferret. I've forgotten the other name for it. It's not a mole rat, because mole rats are too. Yeah. So they're very kind of. Yes. So you've said it twice. But I was.
But Simo, yes. What about a mink?
Me.
Can I just pause quickly and go slight off topic? Still to do with the ferret. Did you guys ever go to like a country village fete sort of thing? And
yes.
I've told people about this many times, and they don't believe me that this is a game. That there's a bucket, and there's lots of pipes coming out of the bucket, and they each have a number on. Then everybody pays 10p, and then normally an old man puts a ferret into the bucket, closes the lid, and then whichever bit the tube the ferret comes out of, you then win all the money. Or is that just something I've had a horrific vivid dream about?
I can safely say I have not experienced that at a country fete of that
may
world,
happen,
where they're using live ferrets.
Experience.
Yeah, that seems pretty. I have seen many a game and partaken in many a game of Splat the Rat, which let me be clear, there are no actual rats in the harming of this game. It's a kind of squishy toy
bobbing
thing that's
toy,
like
yeah.
made out of a sock, I think, usually with filled with beads, and you push that, it gets dropped but through a tube, and then it has like a section cut out of the tube which you have to whack it with, usually a rounder's bat of some description, you know. So I've seen that, but never live ferrets being used in a kind of
so
a country.
So if people don't know what ferrets are, I've remembered the word because it's reminded me of Wind in the Willows. If everyone's listened to Wind in the Willows, it's a fantastic child's book. Weasel. So it's also similar to a weasel in its terminology. So these are very kind of local to our woodlands and our farmlands, and it kind of epitomises what it's going for, I think, when it says Thirsty Ferret. I think it is kind of trying to make itself true to the UK.
So I've got a fact for you both.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay. interesting?
I'll let you decide.
Here we go.
So ferret actually comes from the Latin word for little thief.
Ooh.
Nice.
You know what, Joe? That's probably your most interesting fact I've heard you say.
Because you're
oh,
a very.
Please. I've given you so many golden gems of interesting facts.
Because you're
past.
A very boring man, Joe. So
please, I don't know where this hate is coming from. You know. So anyway, I think it just goes down to that. You know, a ferret. It's a kind of a playful, like it's mischievous. It's and I think linking this back to Badger Brewery and this Dorset Brewery. You know, they're Thirsty Ferret. They're trying to play on this kind of playfulness. You know, this mischievousness of the ferret itself. You know, they refer to it as, we still remember the night one such furry nur. I don't even know how to say that word. Furry near doer. Well, near duel. Let me do this again.
Here we go.
So they say on their website, we still remember the night one such furry near do well tiptoed into the thatched Grimble Inn and stole himself a taste of our tantastalizing.
I mean, just go with it, Joe.
Just
you're
go
you're
with it, Joe.
Struggling.
Just
you might
just
as well go
rolling.
With it.
I'm going through, powering through. A taste of our tantalizing. There you go. Tawny tipple. loved for its full-bodied biscuity taste. Now then, what's Latin for little thief with the great taste in beer?
So basically, they're really playing on the localization of Dorset. They're playing on the language of Dorset, and they're just kind of epitomizing what they're about in that kind of fun, jovial terminology.
And I've also, on their website, they're really hamming up how fun and like the interestingness, I guess, or the kind of randomness of this beer, is they've got a did you know section. And it states that Americans don't just love baseball, basketball, and the English accent. Ferrets are the third most popular pet after cats and dogs. So Americans know what ferrets are.
Yeah.
They are very familiar with what ferrets are.
Well, you know what? Like I do drink this ale, and it does make me want to go and steal things, like the ferret. It's
Rich, let's maybe not bring up your checkered past.
Yeah, but as in they do that throughout all their beers. So they have a story for everything. So I really like the fact that if you go onto their website, you can pick any of their beers, and they have an interesting, funny story for everything.
Oh, simple. Well, I've got a challenge for you. So you say they're really interesting and fun stories. I would like you to tell us your favourite one, but as though you're telling it as a children's story, okay?
Okay.
Reading it to a group of kids.
Okay,
right?
So I'm going to go with... Okay, so I'm going to go with the legendary Tanglefoot.
Okay.
So the story of the legendary Tanglefoot. Our family...
Stop shouting. You've blown my ears off.
You'll scare the children.
Start it again.
Okay.
The voice levels need to be more normal.
Okay, I'll be more creepy. It's perfect. Right, you ready? The story... of the legend of Tanglefoot. Our family has always kept its feet on the ground. Well, except for that night that gave name to our legendary golden ale. On that evening, years ago, we gathered at Blanford to sample head brewer's John Woodhouse's latest wonder. So rounded and fruity, was it? That's a proper old knees up ensued, and the legend of Tanglefoot was born.
Oh, well done.
Thank you.
Well
thank
done.
You. Thank you.
Clap, 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 clap.
Thank you. Thank
well
you.
Done.
Thank you. Thank
oh,
you,
my
thank
word.
You, thank you.
Oh, that was good. Right. I'll give you my favourite story. Okay?
I'm actually feeling quite emotional about what I've just done, so...
Good. Right, well, sit back and relax for the tale of the hopping hare.
Mm. Oh.
Frisky legs, amber eyes, hedge hoppers and skedaddlers. Though they're known by dozens of deliciously different names, when hares pour out onto Burbuck Ridge each spring to hop, box and dance till dawn, they live up to the fame of the name we know best, the Mad March Hare.
Oh, that was delightful. Oh,
this
nice. Is.
There we go. And carry on, I've got another fact. Carry on the good times. I've got another
you
fact
got another
for
fact?
You.
You got another fact? Rolling.
Oh, okay, another one for you. There you go. Hares can reach speeds of up to an impressive 43 miles per hour. So don't ever race one to the pub.
Okay, hang on.
That was a fact and a joke all in one.
Okay, so go. I've got an interesting I've got the did you know the legendary Tanglefoot was crafted in the 80s and it's still just as iconic as the Rubik's Cube. It's not as good.
Nice.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Nice. No, sorry, I didn't have a thing. Right, let's get back on to let's get back onto to the beer we're tasting right now, the Thirsty Ferret. So,
yeah.
Rich, give us your views and thoughts on the liquid.
So, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan, and I always have been ever since. So, I hadn't really tried it until I moved to Dorset a couple of years ago, and some guys took me down to the our local pub, the Smugglers Inn. I'll give it a shout out because it's a cracking little place, and we went down there, and they were like, I was like, what should I try? And they're like, you've got to try the Thirsty Ferret sort of thing. I was like, you know what? I love an ale. I'll give it a go. And I had the first sip. And you know when you try something new for the first time and you're just a bit like, oh, I'm sold on this. This is nice. It's consistent. And it is smooth. It's got a mild, hoppy flavour. And it's not too strong. It's not punching you in the face. It's something you can have a few of and be happy. And what I really, really liked was, it takes me back to another memory, which was when I was in, of all the places, Taiwan, on this tiny little island, Taiwan. And we're drinking, and they were selling it in this bar that we were at, just randomly in this bar. And it takes me back to that on a lovely hot summer's afternoon there. It's good. I enjoy it.
That's a very, very bespoke and unique experience there of having Taiwan, being in Taiwan and having the Thirsty Ferret. But that's fascinating that it exports so well, because I wouldn't picture Thirsty Ferret anywhere outside of the UK, in my opinion.
No, especially Taiwan.
I've never actually had a Thirsty Ferret on draft. So I've always bought Badger brewery stuff by bottle. I've never actually had it in a pub. Yeah. I've always had it at home. I've always known it as a beer to buy to drink at home in a bottle. I've never, ever actually been to a pub and actually been able to have a pint of one of their beers.
Well, I hope that, and I'm with you. I've only ever had Badger Brewery beers from the bottles, but I'm hoping that obviously once lockdown finishes, we can go down to Weymouth with Rich and we can experience the Badger Brewery experience. So we can go to their tap room, we can taste it from tap, like literally live from the source, because I am a big fan of this beer, and it's a 4.4%, so it's very, you can have one or two and you won't feel a difference in most people, but it's got that kind of like almost kind of quite sweet, quite nutty. I mean, we're talking about a ferret, but it's nutty in its kind of taste.
Yeah.
You know, it's got that kind of, I would say it's almost got like a kind of a, it's not citrusy in that it's lemon, but it's almost got like a zestiness, like almost like an orangey that kind of comes out from it.
Mm-hmm. It's quite tart flavour.
You know, it definitely is. It's quite tart. You're right, Rich. It's very tart. And I think in a kind of a nice way that it's got that kind of distinctive personality. You know, it's very kind of amber ale kind of feel to it.
I just think that if you haven't had a Badger beer, I think this is a good start. I think this is a beer that I would suggest to other people to have. If they've never tried Badger Brewery, and I'd be like, which one should I try first? I feel like this is quite a safe bet, the Thirsty Ferret.
Well, they've got they're very well awarded as well. Most of their beers have got awards from various brewing competitions and recognition and stuff like that. So they're a solid choice. And across the board, I've tried most of their ales, and they're consistently good. There's not a bad one, if you can kind of know where I'm coming from. You can drink them, you can be happy. Of course, you can have your favourites and stuff, but they're just consistently good. They're consistently good, and the taste doesn't differ that much from when they bottle it to it on tap, which I think is something quite special, because people say they like to drink stuff from the tap and it tastes slightly different. But I can honestly say it tastes very similar, which I think is a really good thing to be able to achieve.
So to round this off, Mr. Joseph Druitt, please give us the Instagram and Twitter.
So on Instagram, they have 5.7K followers, and Twitter, they have 11.3K followers.
So not massive, which I can kind of see.
Yeah, I think that it just shows their content plan is that very much like using Twitter as the announcements and, you know, kind of up to the moment and reacting and being their interactions with customers. You know, if the customer's got like, where can I get hold of your Tanglefoot, then they can direct them to how to do that. That's what Twitter they're using it for, customer stuff. On Instagram, they don't really have the content generation, you know, the down that you'd probably expect. You know, like looking at their content, they have, you know, they're very similar that a lot of breweries are doing, but they don't seem to be pushing it as much as, you know, I don't think. I definitely, it took me a while also to find Badger Brewery's Instagram handle, because they're down as Badger Beers. You know, there's already Badger Breweries in the US. You know, there's already Badger, you know, the Badger Brewery in, you know, I think there's one in South Africa. So it seems like they've also kind of found themselves in this weird place where they've got a handle, which is not too bad if you've done your SEO, you're helping people to find you. You've done your work in the back end so that when someone types in Badger Brewery, that your Badger Beers comes up as up right at the very top. You know, so I feel like they need to do that kind of level of investment. And I feel like you could easily double those numbers on Instagram, for example.
Well, if we can finish with anything on this, is I think we all highly recommend this as a brewery to sample. If you can get your hands on it, I would 100% say try it.
And that's all we have time for from this week's episode of the I'll Try That podcast. And so from me, Joe,
Rich,
and Simo,
goodbye. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram,
Twitter,
and watch us on YouTube.
Goodbye now. Always drink responsibly. And if you or anyone else needs some help, go to drinkaware.co.uk for more information.